Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about this show and any of the other shows that we have on by going to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And I'm broadcasting live from the south of France, and it is actually probably around 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm happy to be here, and as you know, if you've been tracking me, I've been actually broadcasting across the United States, and now I'm overseas. So it's always a great adventure. With that, I'm going to bring on my host, Pam. Are you there?
I am. Nice to talk to you again, Mark. It's Thursday night.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So, as always, I always like to start the beginning of this show by promoting the great radio network and shows that you got started. So, could you just give people the web address so they can kind of see all the different shows that you have on your radio network?
Sure. Right now, Paolo Tour Radio has several shows going. Tuesday night, we have Soul Traveler, which is a show with a hypnotherapist who studied under Dr. Brian Weiss, and we talk about the travel, the path or the journey that the soul makes from one life to another. On Wednesday night is my show, which was initially on Spiritual Connections Radio, which is called Secrets of the Soul, which we talk about the issues of who we really are and how we function in this world. And it addresses everything from personal power, integration, emotion, imagination, and how we create our world with what we think and feel. So then that was Wednesday night. And Thursday night is I'm on the radio with you with Spiritual Connections. Thursday morning, there's a show called Insights and Umbrellas with Dr. Kelly Brady, and we discussed from the perspective of psychology, Chinese medicine, and quantum physics, we discussed current events and how things affect our lives. So we've got lots going on. You can always reach me at PamelaLatourRadio.com. My last name is LATOUR. So saying that, thank you for letting me plug my radio shows, Mark. Saying that, I'd like to jump right into the show tonight because it seems to be a very special one. Tonight we have Aaron Bertrand and Azza Bertrand, MD. And these two lovely people have a book coming out in a few months, in 3 months, and they're going to talk to us tonight about womb awakening, which sounds fascinating because it involves men as well. So let's get started. Saren and Azra, are you there?
We're here.
Yeah, lovely to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. So tell our audience and us, Mark and I, what is womb awakening?
So womb awakening is the return really of an ancient spiritual path and way of living that's been lost to us, that we've forgotten over the last 5,000 years. so womb awakening is one part of what some people might call the return of the feminine onto earth, and not just for women, but for men as well. And what I mean by the feminine are values of nurturing life, of caring for the earth, of thinking about what life is going to be like, not just for us, but for seven generations into the future, of allowing our feelings, of using our feelings as a portal to our own awakening, realizing that our bodies are temples, and actually another kind of portal to access spiritual consciousness, to really a way to return ourselves back to the Garden of Eden or the New Earth or our original biological and human blueprint or our full potential. And so this is womb awakening. And womb is, the womb is the center of creation, of birth. And not just for children, of course for children as well, which is incredibly beautiful and important. And also, the womb births consciousness. It births new ideas. It births new energies and frequencies. It manifests. It's the it magnetizes good things into our lives. And it's so important for us to remember how to awaken and activate this energy.
It's also the center of feminine consciousness that we've become completely disconnected from. And even in our spiritual paths, we tend to follow a masculine path of enlightenment, because for the last 5 to 10,000 years, the feminine presence has been under attack. So when we think of the womb, you know, we really drop into that space. It's an incredible multidimensional portal between worlds. It's where spirit comes into matter. That's an incredible mystery, and that's the heart of the mystery of why or how we are here. So womb awakening dives into that mystery.
Excellent.
How did you become aware of this? Is it a system? Is it an awareness? What is womb awakening exactly?
So when I was about 13 years old, I was not religious. I was not born into a religious family at all. And I was walking past a Catholic bookshop, and I got called in there. I just really felt to go in there. And I picked up a little pamphlet about a saint that I'd never heard of, and she was called Mary Magdalene. And I took this pamphlet and I read it. I was 13 years old, and afterwards I had what I could describe as an internal rapture state for, you know, a few days, 2 or 3 days. And in that time, it became clear to me, I was only 13, so I didn't really have the intellectual tools to grasp it, but I felt it and saw it, that only by healing the collective feminine sexual wounds could, you know, earth and man and womankind heal. After that, I started painting women with huge glowing red wounds, or trees with big wounds in them with lights coming out. So from a very, very young age, I felt very connected to this secret power that lived inside us. And when I was 29, I was diagnosed with endometriosis, and I took a healing path on my own. I dropped out of society. I prayed for hours a day, I womb-breathed, I followed lunar cycles, I took herbs, and just really deeply felt how, you know, the disconnection I was experiencing in my womb was a reflection of my disconnection from the feminine essence of life, and how that was a reflection of what was happening on Earth.
And
I see.
It's, you know, for me, it's this sense of it was the missing piece or the missing element. And for most of us who are on a path of development or a spiritual path, we're aware of many of the masculine traditions of spirituality, and this can include the Buddhist path, the Islamic, Judaic, Christian path, and others. And there's a lot of beauty in all of these paths, but each one of them really has left out the feminine. And for me, I felt that. I couldn't have articulated it when I was young, but I felt it. I spent hours, at least an hour daily, but generally hours meditating for years. I climbed to mountain peaks. I fasted. I spent a lot of time on my own. I did many, many things exploring spirituality. I read and studied with Buddhist teachers and traveled the world, really. But I knew something was missing. I felt it. And eventually, for me, I guess my first portal was through nature, through Gaia, and an experience I had when I was 19, living in Alaska, just sleeping on the forest floor for months, away from electricity, cars, everything modern. It was just the earth, and I lived on the food that I caught and some of what was boated in, because I was days walk from roads, and I had a very deep primal communion with the earth and Gaia. The energy of Gaia is part of the feminine system, and then from there, and from that connection with the web of life, I was guided to really meet the Divine Mother, the energy of the Divine Mother, which is present in the Hindu and some of the other, many of the old indigenous ways, the concept of the Divine Mother. And for me, I felt and met this energy, and I was blown away and really made a vow when I was in my early 20s that I would dedicate my life in service to bringing this energy back into my own life and into our world.
Okay. So the concept of the womb awakening is a slow opening your eyes and awareness of the sacred feminine being reborn into the earth at this point. Am I reiterating this? Am I saying it again correctly, or have I missed something?
No, exactly. And it's a very physical, biological experience as well. So actually, when you start to research and open your own cellular memory, but also look in the ancient records, it starts to become obvious if you open your eyes that a great womb religion held sway across the earth a long, long time ago, and it got scattered. And the fullness of it does not live in one lineage anymore, but it's scattered throughout all the lineages. So in the great feminine tradition, you can weave these threads back together. Another piece of it was called endocrine alchemy, and it was the knowing that actually we are biologically wired and created to experience rapturous, ecstatic hormonal states of heaven on earth, but we've become disconnected from this endocrine potential within us, and which is actually a very feminine way of being because it's very present in the body. So it's a different, complementary but different path to something where you are going into the head or the third eye or the mind or up and out of the crown chakra. You're actually descending deeply back into the primal potential of the body to become a holy grail, a a chalice for living light.
And it's really, it's bringing in all of the incredible loving and divine and celestial energies, but bringing them into life on Earth, into our bodies, into creating a new way of living, a new way of being in community, a new kind of civilization that can go forward on the Earth and prosper and be in balance and in harmony. And it's, you know, it's really, it's such a grounded thing. And a lot of times when we think of spirituality, we think of something that happens not in the body, something that happens in a dimension in the astral realms or etheric realms or something that's really not happening in our body. But the truth is that altered states of consciousness, higher states, what, you know, some people call higher states, we would tend to call them deeper states of consciousness or more connected states of consciousness, actually have with them their own biology. So we have different hormones, different neurotransmitters that actually help facilitate these states of being. And thus it's very much grounded in our body. We can't separate our consciousness from our being, from our matter, from our vessel.
And if when you begin this journey and when you begin to experience tangible, embodied moments of womb awakening, you will know, you know, it's unlike anything you've experienced before. It's something completely different, and it's not written about in most of the books. It's not Tantra either. It's not Tantra. It's an incredible feeling, and the words that describe it are wild innocence. And it's like being reborn onto Earth, into your body. Every moment is this exquisite, wild innocence, just belonging
in
your body.
It's such a beautiful explanation that it's turned on for me memories of interesting things that have happened throughout my life, and I think it's probably done the same for a lot of our listeners. For example, I used to go to church. I was very Catholic. My family was, and so I went to church every single morning before school. I went to a Catholic school when I was a child, and I came from a violent home life, so I always had a stomach ache. The Mass was in Latin back then. I was bored and sick every morning. And there was this statue of the Virgin Mary in front of me, who was supposed to be, the statue was supposed to be the mother of Jesus. Well, as I stood there every day feeling so bad, I would just, out of boredom, I'd start talking to this energy that I felt in the statue. And she told me that she wasn't the mother of Mary. She was Mary Magdalene. And I would have episodes of such ecstasy when I was like 9 or 10 years old that it was absolutely phenomenal. And the nuns would be screaming at me. And I'd have this energy saying, they're just afraid that they're not good enough. They can't teach you well enough. They're afraid they're not good enough. It's not you. And I have this wisdom that you just couldn't possibly have at that age. And as I grew up, I ended up in France. Mark is actually staying in my house in France right now. My husband is French, and we spend a lot of time in France. And very close to my house is a place called Sainte-Marie-de-la-Mer, which was where the three Marys arrived after the death of Jesus, Mary Magdalena, the mother of Mary, and a servant girl named Sarah. And without getting into too much detail, because it's such a fascinating story, basically all of the churches, St. Mary's, in France are not to the mother of Mary like they are in the U.S., but they're Mary Magdalene, who was the wife of Jesus. You know, Dan Brown didn't make this stuff up. So, And I spent 10 years in the Middle East, where I walked in the footprints of Magdalena and Jesus, and just phenomenal experiences connected to this Magdalena energy, this womb energy. And Mark will tell you, if you walk around my house, you'll see one painting after another painting after another painting of the sacred feminine. It's really been in my life so much, and I have seen it in the lives of others as well. So I am just so excited that you're on tonight and you're telling us about such a phenomenal awakening.
It is. It's incredible, and so many women have experienced these, at the time, which appeared to be inexplicable connections or feelings or awakenings, especially connected to the Virgin Mary, whilst they may not have had any interest in, you know, the rest of Christianity, this deep connection to the Marys. And you know, Mary Magdalene is deeply connected to womb awakening. And in fact, the name Magdalene, actually its root origins translates as the magical doorway and the great weaver. So we can even actually say that the word Magdalene is a titular word for the great womb, the great mother womb.
Yeah, in a sense, it's Mary Magdalene. Magdalene, the name Magdalene, is not the name just of this individual woman, Mary Magdalene. It was a title or a titular name, and referred to a whole lineage of women like her who were practicing womb wisdom, who had been taught the secrets, who had been taught how to activate and open the womb, how to drop into the feminine dimension, and how to bring that into relationship, so into sacred relationship. And it's our strong feeling, although this is controversial, it's our strong feeling that the being who's known as Jesus or Yeshua and Mary Magdalene were partners in sacred union, practicing womb awakening in a way that had never been on the earth in many, many thousands of years, and really hasn't been seen since that time. And so the energy that Mary Magdalene or the Magdalene holds is really a key. Really a key part of what we do.
And many of the women who journey with us experience, you know, have experiences with Mary Magdalene, you know, as this energy, this portal of womb consciousness, which is wishing to return to Earth and rebirth Earth, because nothing can birth or rebirth without a womb. And that's what the ancient wisdom knew. And when you lose contact with the power of the womb, you cannot rebirth or birth anything. You're stuck. So, you know, the transformation of consciousness is stuck in the birth canal until women come back into their embodied womb power and invite men into this space of deep, tender, compassionate love, and then as a collective we can begin to rebirth. And obviously the process is underway, and it's incredible. With our work, we get people who, you know, just are guided through psychic messages to type in womb awakening and find us.
And for men play a very important role in this as well. If we look back at cycles of time, and if we look back long enough, we see an era, a long era that was a matriarchal era, and this really lasted up until about 3000 BC when it transitioned over to a patriarchal era. And so what the earth has known for many thousands of years has been a split between the masculine and feminine. There was a time when the feminine held power and the masculine was not in power. And over the last 5,000 years, it's been the reverse, where it's been a patriarchal time where men have held power and women have been considered inferior or have been pushed to the side. And now is the era of union, of men and women walking forward side by side together. And this healing is what will rebirth not just ourselves, but our whole world. And an incredible piece of this is really the man's role in helping to bloom open the womb through the incredible lion-hearted love that is protective, that is nurturing, and that shines like the sun on the feminine, encouraging her to really bloom open, to come into her power, to come into her fullness. And this is, it's such an important role for men.
And also for men to come into their feminine side. I mean, more repressed than the feminine in women on earth is the feminine in men. And actually research shows that before the ages of 7, young boys are actually more emotional than girls, but then they have it conditioned out of them. Research shows that men's psychology and biology responds to lunar cycles, not just women's. You know, men are lunar beings too. In the womb, when we're conceived, actually for the first 10 weeks, the baby is neither male nor female, but it's actually in a feminine blueprint. So men, it's a really deep journey as well for them to come back into their truly feminine side. And in doing that, they birth their true masculine, a very wild, primal, loving, you know, lion-hearted masculine, which is really what women are craving, you know, really, really wanting. And so this path very much includes men. And actually, the part of the womb religion was the grail. So all the grail legends speak of the knights, the grail knights, you know, going through all these ordeals and adventures to get to the grail castle. And of course, the grail castle symbolizes the womb, the great cosmic void that dissolves and rebirths everything.
That's lovely. Mark, I have a question for you. I know you're not the guest tonight, but you're in France. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. You're in France, and you're about, 40 minutes from St. Mary's on the Sea, where the legend has it that Mary Magdalena and the mother of Mary and the servant girl arrived in Gaul, which is now France, after the death of Christ. And there is a chapel there that I told you about that is one of the most phenomenal chapels I've ever been in terms of energy. Have you gotten down there yet?
Yeah, I was actually, we were just talking about it before we got on the air this evening. I actually was down there yesterday.
Oh, good. So did you experience the same kind of opening, some kind of energy? Did you feel anything when you were there?
Yeah, it was actually amazing. I think probably one of the most powerful feelings I have, and I've been around a lot of churches and sacred sites and everything, and I normally don't pick up on much of anything. But for this particular journey into the church, there is actually Christ on the cross in the front on the left-hand side. And I actually went up the stairs to the area where you preach from. And I went over and I touched the feet of Christ on the cross, and I actually started crying. And that's very, very unusual for me, because I normally don't pick up that type of energy off of religious, artifacts.
Well, that's interesting. That church is just phenomenal for what you're talking about. There was supposed to be a servant girl, a black woman named Sarah, who came with them to the south of France, and it's the patron of the gypsies, and every year the gypsies go to that church and parade that statue of the Black Virgin down the streets. It's just a phenomenal place for what you're talking about. I'd like to talk to you too, Saren, about this concept of the womb religion. I lived in Jordan for 10 years. during, you know, which is in the Middle East. And there, what there is a museum in Jordan that has some of the oldest pieces in the world that they know about. And if you walk through that museum, you see one piece after another piece after another piece of women, pregnant women, women with very large hips, women with, I mean, obviously the sacred feminine living back then. I mean, and those pieces were thousands of years old.
Exactly, thousands. And in the Middle East, actually, there was a huge womb religion in the Middle East. And it's been remembered now, you know, it's coming back. And across the world, you see all these artifacts. And, you know, in the current paradigm that we're in, there's a slightly dismissive air of, oh, it was a fertility cult, you know, or a goddess cult. It wasn't. It was a womb religion, and there's actually quite a difference in that. And because the womb is the center of all creation, it's a multidimensional portal, and this is what the ancients knew and what they celebrated in the feminine form. It was this kind of starport that lived within inside the female body, and everyone, men and women alike, held it in great reverence. And it's interesting that you talk about Marie de la Mer, because in our forthcoming book, Pilgrimage into the Womb, we mention that, because obviously the Black Madonna as well is huge in this area. But there were actually, when you start to pull the pieces together, huge womb renewal rituals that took place every year. Hera and Aphrodite had them. Some of the goddesses in India had them. And so some of the research, obviously, you know, there's so many theories, so much research about Marie de la Mer. But one of them suggests that Sarah not only came with the Marys, that was connected to a cult of priestesses in Central Europe that were doing these womb renewal rituals. So
absolutely.
It's fascinating when you piece it all together, because these renewal rituals were often symbolized by ceremonially going to water and having a baptism, bathing, renewing in the water. But that was actually symbolic for the cycles of the womb, which are actually absolutely incredible. What happens inside the womb is a monthly cycle of death and rebirth, you know, creating life and dissolving life and renewing everything back into innocence. And this was, you know, what these renewal rituals were encoding, this knowledge. And one of the incredible things is that the womb, well, menstrual blood actually contains incredible healing stem cells. And last year, I think it was last year, Azra and I met with a top stem cell research scientist who told us about the experiments they were doing with menstrual blood stem cells. And they were really showing miraculous healing powers.
And
well, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
well, that's really very cool.
And they're already being used in this country. They have FDA approval, or a pending FDA approval, to actually be able to save body, like limbs, in the case of someone who doesn't have a good blood supply. They can simply just use a small amount of menstrual blood stem cells, and it can save a limb. And in other countries, healing, preventing the need for kidney transplant, and just incredible things. I mean, we could go on and on, but the power of the womb and of menstrual blood stem cells and many other things is really incredible. And, you know, back to what you said about it was really a worldwide womb religion for many thousands of years. And the figurines you're talking about come from what's called the Orognatian or Gravettian period of the Stone Age. This goes back to 40 or 50,000 years. And so these figurines, they are ancient. And it was a religion that was in continuous practice for that period of time. And not just in Europe and Central Europe and the Middle East, which was very prominent there, but actually all over the world. And we see the traces of the womb religion in literally every culture. Every culture, every indigenous culture, every culture is there. And the last 5,000 years, the traces have been buried or have been covered up. But it doesn't take that much looking around to find it. And really, it's the most amazing thing. And you see that prior to the prominence of the, for example, of the god Allah, or God in the Muslim tradition, there was the feminine goddess Alat in the Middle East. And prior to Zeus being the premier god in the Greek pantheon, there was Hera, whose name literally meant womb. And it goes on and on, and it's the most amazing thing to discover.
Can I ask you, Asra, doctor, about brain interconnections between the right and left side of your brain? I mean, we've always attributed the brain as being feminine and masculine, the two sides of the brain, the left and the right side. Now, I read an article maybe 2 or 3 years ago now, so I don't think I can quote it exactly, but the idea of the article was simply that they have been finding pathologically that before there were very few fibrous connections between the left and right side of the brain, and as we progress and evolve, now the right and left side of the brain are becoming more and more connected with just these fibrous connections that give us the ability to think with both sides of our brain at the same time. Can you tell us anything about that, or does that relate at all to this awakening?
Yeah, absolutely. This is so important to understand. And it's, one thing we know, we'll talk about the science behind it. We know this, is that people who have had adequate nourishment and nurturing have more established communication between the different areas of the brain. Women have greater communication between these areas of the brain than men do in general. And these things, they're not hardwired into our DNA in the way that, like in some kind of deterministic way. They're actually determined by how we are nurtured, how we are raised. Our maternal, the environment of our mother's body in her womb while we were gestating as babies actually determines how our biology and nervous system and brain develop. Does it develop into its fullness, or is it working on a more limited way due to different traumas, etc.? But it's super important what you're talking about, and it's very interesting because these connections generate for us the capacity not just to think, but to feel more deeply, to perceive beyond our five sensory, the five senses. So what would be called extrasensory perception. This is our potential. This is what we're supposed to be able to do, to communicate telepathically, to feel and receive things, intuitions, psychic premonitions, to have clairsentience, to be able to feel what other people are feeling. And this is actually what we're meant to be doing. And so these neural pathways support this. And the more we develop ourselves and heal ourselves, it actually changes the expression of our DNA. We know this. There's an incredible amount of research around this. It's called epigenetics, the field of epigenetics, and it's truly remarkable. And what's what most people have never even heard of is actually more important than the difference between the right and the left brain, or the right and the left hemisphere, is the difference in the understanding of the back brain and the front brain, or the cerebellum versus the cerebrum. And this topic is absolutely fascinating. And it turns out, and very few people understand this, and only been one or two people that have really written about this, is that the cerebellum is really the seat of what we might call our feminine consciousness, or our psyche, or our unconscious or subconscious mind. It's the cerebellum that creates the dream time when we dream. Our dreams are projected up from our cerebellum into our cerebral cortex. Our cerebellum controls are the functioning of our autonomic nervous system, and really so much of our body, so much of our primal body, our sexuality, our level of general alertness, and our capacity to perceive. And it's really an incredible science that's just now ready to be revealed and uncovered. And something that we all have heard about this, and that animals can sense when a tsunami is coming, they move to higher ground, or they sense when an earthquake is coming and they move out of unsafe structures. Well, if animals can do this, why can't humans? Why are we not aware of this? And the truth is that we've just simply forgotten. We've lost contact with this our nature and this capacity, and it simply has to just be awakened and remembered. And that can happen in this lifetime. It's like learning how to wiggle your ears. It takes a little bit of practice and a little bit different, because it requires a profound emotional exploration. And then these capacities start to come online more and more.
Ezra, can I interrupt you for just a second? Because I think we went over the half an hour point, and Mark does usually a little chance to give everybody's website out. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt the conversation. It was flowing so well, you know. Just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio with Mark Ross and Pam Latour. We're on every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of this show, you can go to the website, spiritualconnectionsradio.com. This evening, we have our guests, Saren and Ezra Bertram, and their website is www.thefountainoflife.org. And back to you, Pam.
Okay. Could we talk briefly, Ezra and Saren, about birthing of a new Earth? I thought that was so fascinating when I read that in your talking points. Can you explain that to me and tell me what the concept is?
So the idea is this, is that this is heaven. This we live in what could be heaven. We live in what could be Eden. That's here on this earth. And it's simply a dimensional shift away, a shift of perception. It's something that we can easily step through and experience right here and right now. And Saren and I have been gifted with this direct experience and living in and out of this state for months over the past several years, and have been receiving information to share and help let everyone know how beautiful, how amazing, how incredible life is meant to be here on Earth, here in our bodies, in this incredible connection to the web of life. Being able to, a lot of people have seen the movie Avatar, and that's a point of reference that gives an example of a little bit of what we're talking about. It's being able to perceive literally the bioluminescence of life, the trees, actually glowing, are being able to clearly feel and hear what another person is thinking, to be able to directly communicate with the spirit world without all the filters and blocks. And this is really here for us. And in order to find it, we need to begin or deepen our own process of awakening and connecting back to this very beautiful, we call it a feminine dimension. And we call it a feminine dimension because it has a lot of the qualities of what we associate with the feminine, of beauty, of softness, of nurturing, of connection, of this feeling of being merged with creation. And so this frequency, this new earth frequency, is coming in through many people, and it's being born right now, and it's incredibly exciting.
In fact, the clarion call has been rung out across the universe, and many, many people on Earth now, spontaneously, out of nowhere, sometimes it's been brewing for a long time, feel deep inside themselves that they know that they came here to be a mother of New Earth. They just know it. And they hear about these teachings, and it's new and completely familiar to them still, like a whisper and a remembrance. And bringing this feminine quality back into our life and awakening our wombs literally creates a dimensional shift on Earth. And when enough women, when we can reach a tipping point of women and men, we will start to birth a new dimensional frequency on Earth. And it's a dimension of love, because Earth is not a dimension of love at the moment. But it was created to be a dimension of love. And we can return that to Earth. But we have to birth it. Nothing is birthed through the mind. And in fact, the world we're living in at the moment was created by the mind, and it's actually destroying the planet and destroying the human race. And only when we come back to center and to the womb can we rebirth it in a natural and harmonious way.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying, and they're beautiful words, but my first reaction to it is, well, how do you come back to this way? How do you bring yourself to this awakening? Do you have any tips, any assistance for our listeners and for Mark and I as well to bring ourselves back to that spot, to that point?
Okay, yeah. Well, it's incredibly practical because it's in the body. So the first step is for everyone listening in to just close your eyes and just place your hands on your womb space or your hara, just below the navel point. And just place your hands there and start to breathe in and out, and to drop the consciousness down to the heart, but then to carry on dropping deep, deep down into the womb and hara space. And to sit in that space and breathe there and see what comes up, what you feel. In our work, we ask women and men to ask their womb. This womb has got a primal voice like a she-wolf. She's a very good guide. So at any point in the day, if you're feeling scattered or uncertain or upset, you can come back to your womb, you can put your hands on this space, you can drop into this deep velvet darkness and return to your center. And when you do this day after day, at first what happens is you begin to perceive the disconnection you have from this place. You drop in and you feel nothing, or you feel bored or agitated. And that's just a sign that, okay, so now I'm bringing into awareness that I have been disconnected from this primal center of creation. So if you make a commitment to sit for 10, 20 minutes every day and just put your hands, breathe in there, drop your awareness down, and you start to explore and investigate what's inside there, magic will start to happen. You'll start to have new insights, new ways of being. And then once you've opened that gateway, you can go deeper. We work with the gateways of the yoni in the womb. So even within our womb and our yoni, it's a pathway. It's a royal road. And there are centers and gateways that you can work with physically and in meditation by bringing your awareness down there. And lots of things stir up, and part of this work is that what stirs up is uncomfortable, because a lot of our deepest injuries in life and our deepest blocks and fears lay in the sexual realms and the primal realms. So when we
That's phenomenal. That's really phenomenal. When you were describing how to do that, I just closed my eyes and I did that. I put my hand right below my navel and took a deep breath in, put my consciousness there. And the first thing I got was this primal scream. And it actually threw me into a past life of being killed as a virgin. I suppose, you know, I belong to this group, this sort of intimacy group that I put together every Tuesday night. And in this group, they're all ladies about my age, between 45 and probably 60. And they've all had hysterectomies, every single one of them but me, which I thought was phenomenal. What we do to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, but the incredible thing is that actually, even when you remove the physical womb, the energetic womb space remains and is incredibly powerful. So we have many women who work with us. We actually hold healing ceremonies to heal any cellular trauma around hysterectomy. For women who are having hysterectomy, I mean, now they are creating ceremonies where they actually offer their wombs back to Gaia. And that's very, very powerful. And, that is an indictment on the society we live in, that so many women have lost their wombs. But the great news is that even when you have lost your womb, you have not lost your womb. You've lost the physical component of it, and you can do these awareness practices. And actually, for a woman who's had a hysterectomy, if she does this every day, if she places her hands on her womb space and breathes in and opens it up and makes this connection and understands that she has a energetic umbilical cord to womb of creation inside her, and no surgeon can disconnect her from that, it's eternal, then, you know, that's really healing for women, actually, because many women who experience hysterectomy feel like they've kind of lost part of their feminine center, but they can come back into that center.
Do you think, that's beautiful, it's like people that have had arms or legs amputated, the energy from that limb is still very much there. So I believe that's what you're talking about with the womb. Do you believe that generationally that wombs are connected together by a genetic female thread? Like I've heard, and I've experienced myself, a chain of DNA beliefs that are connected like that.
Oh, completely. I mean, that's such a huge, huge piece of it. I mean, one of the sayings that we have is all wombs are one. In fact, actually, every womb in existence is connected by etheric cords of light. So, but that's especially strong and potent through our maternal ancestry. I describe it, it's like if you imagine a Russian doll of wombs, and every generation we're basically inheriting the womb of our mother. And
right.
And over time, obviously, with the way the world has been, we're inheriting a huge ancestral load in our womb. So it's not just the experiences we've had, it's the experiences our mothers have had. And of course, we gestate, men and women, we grow in, we're formed in the cauldron of a womb, and actually the pristine energy in that womb dictates everything about us. So, you know, we were talking earlier about the Virgin Mary. From our feeling of it, that the word virgin with Mary, that refers to somebody whose womb has been reset to innocence, which means energetic purity. There's not one ancestral epigenetic collective block in there. And when you get such a pure womb, then the highest soul can come in, the greatest, you know, evolutionary being can develop in this pristine space. So healing those cords, those DNA cords that go back, is really one of the hugest parts of womb healing.
And from a genetic perspective, every woman contains the mitochondrial DNA. It's been passed down womb to womb, mother to mother, going back to what they call the mitochondrial Eve, or our oldest living female ancestor. We contain her mitochondrial DNA, which is incredible.
That's fascinating. Can I ask one last thing, because we're getting close to running out of time? I'd like to know if there's anything that we missed, if there's anything in this conversation that you really feel important to communicate to our listeners.
Yes, the most important piece of womb awakening is to return to your feelings, to not suppress your feelings. People call it the shadow, you know, Jung spoke a lot about it. Our feelings are the language of our soul. They're our feminine soul. They're our connection to Creator, to the web of life. Feelings are actually dimensional creators. But we're afraid of our feelings because we've had bad experiences and traumas, and we've disassociated, and we've found ways to deal and cope with not feeling these feelings. So one of the first steps in womb awakening is to come back into your feelings, good and bad. So it's very different from a Buddhist path, say, which is asking you to disconnect from your emotions. We're saying reconnect, not the negative spin cycle of the mind, but the deep primordial feelings that are held. And actually, these deep repressed feelings are what birth our life. So you meet a lot of people, I'm positive thinking, I'm doing all this spiritual work, but I've still got this health problem, or I still can't find a partner, or I still, you know, don't have much abundance. I don't understand it. But actually, when you come into your feelings and you start to investigate what's lying in your primal unconscious, you can begin to clear it and then birth incredible magic back into your life.
And we teach courses on this. Go to the website, www.thefountainoflife.org, and you can read all about it.
All right. Well, thank you for being on.
Thank you, Pam,
it's always great to have you on. And thanks for getting the website back in there at the last minute. So good night, everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
is but a dream.